Check, 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 check. Microphone. Check. Boom, bam, boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Check, 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 check. Check, check. Hello, hello. Hello. Check, check, check. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Check, 2, 2, 2. Check, 3, 4, 1, 2. Friends, fans, loved ones, welcome to episode 111. 111? What? Of Indestructible Art, the premier podcast for all things video games and comic books. This is Ryan, the Supreme Excellence Adams. With me today, Evan Hydrogen Meerkat Campbell.
Hey, what's up, you dog?
What's up, man?
Oh, nothing. You know, just, I'm still full from Thanksgiving, man. All this tofurkey just sitting in my gut.
Jeez, yeah, it's been a crazy couple of days.
Right? All that stuffing, all the veggies. Man, it was a delicious weekend. Absolutely delicious. Hey, also on the show, Omar, Technical President, Mr. MVP, Prince Omar himself, DeArmas. What's up, Omar?
How's it going?
I feel like you have all these titles now.
Yeah, it's too many adjectives.
Right? We can keep this going. I'm just going to call you Cubano. Right? Cubans like to be called Cubano, right?
Sure. Cubano, like cubes, not like Cubans.
Yeah. Yeah. Cubanos. Cubano.
They really just like geometry, is what you're saying?
Yeah, who doesn't like geometry, huh?
Nothing like a perfect square.
Yeah.
Nice. You could turn it into four triangles.
Speaking of squares, Spencer Carney is not on today's show. Spencer, he ate too much turkey, guys. He's having a, I think he got one of those what are they called? Turduckins?
A turducken? He's got all that tryptophan. All of it. Yeah, turkey coma.
Yeah.
I just read something that tryptophan stuff is not actually what makes people drowsy. It's like a urban legend or something.
Yeah, it's just people gorging themselves on food and trying to give some kind of excuse for the reason why they're so fat and lazy. All these chemicals in the turkey. No, it's just because you're fat. You're having a hard time breathing because you stuffed your fat face full of all that food.
Yeah, it doesn't really line up anyway because, like, how much turkey do you eat and compare to all the other stuff that you eat at Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah, blame the poor turkey.
Yeah, what did he do?
Wasn't one of those yams.
He died for you. He died
cranberry
for you, so you
sauce. I swear, man. Thanksgiving. You know what I like about Thanksgiving, though? Honestly, I mean, it's cool because like the family all comes together and we all hang out. But the day after Thanksgiving, guys, Black Friday.
Yeah, we're all here. We all survived Black Friday.
Yeah, just barely, man. I gotta tell you, every year Black Friday just seems like the apocalypse is coming. Like every single year, it's like this countdown. Like the day after Thanksgiving, like we all spend time, you know, with our families and giving thanks for all these great things that are happening in our lives. But then the day after is just like, we push all that stuff to the side and go, the hell with it. Let's embrace capitalism.
The hell
and
with
go.
Society.
Let's go push people down so we can go get a Tickle Me Elmo. And let's go mace people for Xbox 360s. Like, what happened to the day before when you're giving thanks for all the great things in your life? And now you're out there just being jerks, man.
It's not even the day before now because the people line up on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Those stores open up at like true. 8 or 9 o'clock on Thanksgiving night now.
So you're telling me that poor kid at GameSpot couldn't even eat some turkey with his family because somebody wanted the new Call of Duty.
Yeah, they're over there stocking that store all Thanksgiving dinner time.
And the thing is, okay, so like the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday, right? It's the busiest shopping day of the year, right? Or the busiest shopping weekend. I read somewhere that the average consumer spends $400 over the course of that weekend.
Oh,
right? And people act like it's the only day that they can shop, but you have like a month before Christmas.
But it's them true. Deals, dude, them deals.
Did you look at those deals, Omar?
No, I don't go retail like brick and mortar retail
shopping
ever. All
right. I for some reason I was really fascinated with the subject of Black Friday this year, so I was reading as many articles that I could. I was on like BuzzFeed and Reddit, and a couple other sources, just reading all these crazy Black Friday stories.
All those reputable news sources.
Yeah, that's where I get my news. It's like Fox News. Trusted. Anyways, so I'm reading all these just like horror stories, but no, I heard that all like the deal busters or the door busters that they have, like the big deals when a store opens up that Friday morning or Thursday night now, like, you know, they have like, oh, we only have 10 of these in stock. What it is, you're getting like the worst stuff. You're getting the stuff that they couldn't really sell over the course of the year or is outdated technology, but, you know, they're marking it down 20%. The store, you got to remember, when you buy something at a store, that markup is huge. So when they say, oh, we're giving you a deal that Black Friday, they're still getting a lot of money. The store is. They're just maybe knocking it down like 100 or 200 bucks, but they're still making a mad profit off of it. I don't know. To me, the whole thing is just crazy, man. And this year, I was like, you know what? I'm not doing any shopping on Black Friday. Not going to happen. I'm not that guy. I'm not going to be a part of this capitalistic machine that just destroys people's Thanksgivings.
Yeah, most years I stay inside as well. And this year, actually, kind of worked out that I didn't. Most years, if there is Black Friday deals, you could just wait for Digital Monday whenever the Amazon sales are pretty good. And a lot
Cyber
of
Monday.
Yeah, Cyber Monday. Sorry, Digital Monday. That's a different thing altogether. Let me tell you about it later. But in any case, I saw that Best Buy had SD cards, 32 gigs for like $20, and then you could order it online, and then you just have to go pick it up in the store. So I was like, oh, how crazy could it be? So I went and did that, and yeah, man, it's a war zone in that Best Buy when I went, and I don't know, man. It makes you look at things differently. I went and perused the game aisle, and it just looked like a hurricane had hit it. There was all types of stuff just missing because it's all sold out or mm-hmm. whatever. And some mm-hmm. of those deals, man, they're not even that good. It's like it's on sale, but it's like $3 or $4 off, $5 off.
Well, here's the thing, Evan. No, how I said that wasn't gonna be part of the machine. Remember I said that like a couple seconds ago.
Yeah,
I lied. I went to Best Buy on Friday. I know. I was dragged there. I had a friend of mine wanted a 3DS really, really bad. So we went to the Best Buy, and you're right, the game section looked like, I don't know, man. It looked like hell. It was a war zone. There was little kids running around without their parents.
there were
Xbox One like boxes, like the empty boxes, the display boxes, like just disheveled and thrown on the floor, and like somebody kicked one. The Xbox One controller was missing from the kiosk.
Oh my god!
Like, it was just bad. And I'm like, oh my god, we gotta get out of here. This is bad. Like, I was very fearful for my own life. actually, it wasn't that bad. We got there in the afternoon, so the destruction and chaos was just about over with. So a friend of mine got a 3DS and he got a bunch of games. I'm like, all right, man, let's get out of here. But then I went by this bin, like this big bin out the Best Buy by my house.
Uh huh.
And I saw Batman Arkham Origins in there. I'm like, oh, what is it going to be, like $50 now? I got it for $29.
Oh, wow.
Right? Game's been out for like a month. So I go in there, and the new Assassin's Creed was in there, the new Madden, Last of Us, a bunch of games were in there, all ranging from $19 to $29. So that was actually cool. A pretty good deal. So
wait, yeah. For like the next-gen games or just old stuff?
No, the old
gen. Yeah, the old gen.
Yeah, I saw the same box at the Best Buy in Simi.
So I was like, hey, Arkham Origins. Yeah, you know, I've heard mixed things about this game, but for $29, can't be that bad.
Why not?
Can't be that bad, right? Yeah. But the best thing about going to a Best Buy, you know, it's pretty rare that I'm on the show Indestructible Art because I get to hang out with some dudes that know a lot about video games, and I know a few things about games myself, right? But I learned so much from listening to Evan and Omar, you know, speak the gospel about video games. So I've learned a lot. I'm like a sponge. So I'm at Best Buy, and man, kind of sitting there like a fly on the wall, waiting for my friend to get his 3DS. I got to hear some interesting conversations between Best Buy employees talking to parents who know nothing about video games. And let me tell you guys, if you're ever bored and want to do something fun, go hang out at the Best Buy and watch hopeless parents ask 17-year-old Best Buy employees, what's the difference between a Wii and a Wii U, or when's the PlayStation 5 coming out? Oh, man, I heard there were so many misleading things I heard. I heard one employee tell this dad. The dad was in there. Dad's like, hey, I really want to get Rock Band for my kids. And the kid who's working at Best Buy is just like, oh no, nobody plays that anymore. And the dad's like, well, no, I think it's great. My kids want to, you know, they love music, and I think this would be a really great family activity for us. And the kid's in there, he's just like, well, how old's your kids? And he's like, well, my son's 15, my daughter's 14. And the guy at Best Buy is like, no, you know what? We really don't have that specific game in stock. But if you're looking for something for the whole family, have you guys thought about Battlefield 4? And the dad was just like, I'm not even kidding. I can't make this up, guys. And the dad was just like, well, what is it? And the kid at Best Buy is like, oh, it's great. It's one of my favorite games. I really love it. Me and my friends all play it. It really brings us together. So sure enough, this dad went in there to buy like a Rock Band for his family so they can have family fun time playing music. But instead he walked out with Battlefield 4. Oh,
Jesus,
yeah, I think
man.
The closest you could get to that now is probably like Dance Central or Just Dance, one of those two games. In terms
or you
of
could just buy Rock Band because Rock Band license. Still exists.
Yeah, yeah. It does, but they probably don't have it in stock. They definitely don't have all those huge. You remember you used to walk into Best Buy and
yeah, and the big box with the drums and stuff. I'm pretty sure I've seen that stuff there recently.
No way. When I was in there, they definitely didn't have that stuff. It takes up shelf space, especially with new consoles on the launch. That stuff is long gone, man. It's been gone for almost 2 years now. Maybe you get lucky and find one or two. One time I went to a Circuit City. This was like 4 years ago. I went to a Circuit City that was closing down in Santa Barbara, and they had those things and were selling them for like $20, like the whole bundle. And they just couldn't get rid of them fast enough, and they're just like all covered in dust and stuff. So, yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
At Circuit City closing down, liquidating their thing is not a really good like case study for what those things are going for right now. But yeah, you can still get Rock Band stuff. I've seen them in the store.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
if you couldn't. If the guy was really down for getting some Rock Band, why wouldn't you just point him like down the street to GameStop or whatever and be like, hey.
Yeah.
Hey, that kid's not, that Best Buy employee's not going to do that. And besides, I mean, he's kind of...
I think they get in trouble for that.
Yeah,
too,
he's kind of right. I mean, what's going to bring the family together?
Yeah. If they want to play music, man, modern military shooter, totally right up
headshot.
Their alley.
Yeah. So,
headshot.
So I also was at the Best Buy. They revamped their whole video game system, or video game like area to kind of showpiece... or showcase the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One. So there's like a small like Xbox 360 section now. There's a small PlayStation 3 section. And everything is Xbox One, PlayStation 4. Granted, there's no consoles there and hardly any games. Their whole entire store area, the footprint, was devoted to those two consoles. The Wii U section is now hidden away like in a very dark corner with Nintendo 2 DS games. And partial 3DS. But no, there's no like signage anywhere. This is Nintendo. But you go over to the Sony area, it's just blue everywhere with Sony PlayStation 4 logos everywhere. And right behind that is this big Xbox One. It's almost like Sony and Microsoft went in there and designed it themselves. And the Nintendo section is very bare bones. There's no signs to even point you that you are even looking at a Nintendo. And then one of one of the last conversations I heard was somebody discussing the difference between a Wii and a Wii U, and the Best Buy employee telling them the only difference is the controller. Other than that, it's the same. It's the same system. Now, whether you like the Wii U or not, you have to understand they're two completely different systems with two completely bits of hardware. Yes, they're similar in name only, but man, I heard that, and me being a Wii and a Wii U owner, my blood was boiling. I almost said something. But
Why didn't you say anything?
Yeah, because it's not really worth my time. I'm not going to go argue the merits of a Nintendo Wii U with some 17-year-old kid who's making minimum wage at Best Buy and who's been working all day long at a Black Friday sale.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I'm not going to scold this kid. I
just
should have.
Just wait for that guy to walk away and then go, you know, grab and be like, hey, man, I got a Wii U. It's all right.
The thing is people that work at stores and stuff and have no knowledge of what they're trying to teach or sell people. It's like even if you work there for a day, you're going to know the difference between these different things that are on the shelf that you're supposed to be the person that people ask questions to. Like, why don't people learn what I mean? Yes, Best Buy, you're working minimum wage at a retail shop. Probably not what you want to do or what you're like excited about and passionate about. But still, like, that's what you're doing. At least do your craft properly.
Yeah, in all honesty, this kid, he was probably some seasonal guy, or he probably worked over in the fridge section. Probably didn't know anything about video games. But like I said, I'm not gonna belittle some dude who's working, you know, probably his 13th hour in a Black Friday sale, who's probably so sick and tired of the same questions over and over again. I mean,
well, yeah, just you won't belittle him to his face, but you know, on our podcast,
well,
it's cool.
Well, when you have a soapbox like I do called Instructable Art, hey, I didn't tell anybody his name. I would not rat out Kevin like that, Evan.
Fair enough.
I hate that stuff. Like, I recently spent more than my fair share of time sitting in, like, an AT&T store waiting for to do some work on my plans and stuff, buy my parents a new phone. And I had to sit there waiting in line for a representative to help me, like, to help me the 5 minutes that I needed help. Had to sit there and listen to them just tell people over and over again completely false information. Like, I don't work at a store like that. I'm not totally versed in the world of cell phones, but I know more than the people that work there know, and that's sad. And people are walking out spending hundreds of dollars on things that they didn't really want, and they got sold from some person, you know, just spewing complete garbage at them. It sucks. Well,
do you think it's misinformation, or do you think they honestly kind of bend what they're saying a little
bit? I think it's both. I think a lot of them
sell, yeah, because they get commission on some of that.
Yeah, I think some of the stuff they're getting commission on, so they're trying to steer people away from certain products or towards certain products. But I think a lot of the time, they're of the mindset of, like, if they don't know something, they just make it up. You know, they just, like, start spewing whatever they want, because as long as they sound like, you know, as long as they're speaking in complete sentences, people believe that they understand the product they're talking about.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's, man, so annoying.
Yeah, this thing's running a 4,000 gigahertz HD processor. And you're like, oh, well, that sounds pretty good. Yeah, it's also got this, it's also got these engine components that are really good for processing power. Oh, hot damn, sign me up.
Yeah, you really want to piss off AT&T or any, like, cell phone store people. Just walk in there and be like, I want the most absolute basic phone you have. Like, and even then, they still try and upsell. Because I used to do this all the time before iPhones came out. And it was like, I just want the thing that makes phone calls. And, yeah, they get real bummed real fast. They're like, well, we've got these two versions of our lowest phone. You probably want this one because it does this and it flips open and it's real cool. And you're just like, no, I just kind of want the other one that's a brick. Give me that one. And they just get real bummed.
Well, no, then you'll find that their level of happiness with you all of a sudden drops. Like, they're like, oh, hey, what's going on? And you're like, yeah, I want something real cheap. And like, oh, okay, well, I'll be with you in a few moments. Like they're just, like, totally bummed, like, deflated.
The line's over there, bro. Yeah. Go stand in the back.
Whatever. They're still getting your monthly bill money, so I'm sure they're fine with selling you whatever. But still, just giving people flat out wrong information, like, especially at a Best Buy, because people go in there looking to spend hundreds of dollars on, like, a TV or something, or like an Xbox.
Sure.
If you're not going to have, like, the simple decency to, like, keep that person from misspending, they're probably hard saved money that they're putting away to get their kid this, like, once in a lifetime purchase, like, present thing, because, you know, times are tough. People are losing their houses still and stuff, and they're still going out and buying these $100 things. Ugh, it just makes me angry, and that's why I don't go to those stores anymore.
Well, I'm glad I went, because I was able to get Batman Arkham Origins for $29 somewhere.
Do you get it on your Wii U or on the...
I got for my 360.
Huh.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah. How about that, guys?
Why wouldn't you get that on the Wii U? Isn't that the way to play game? I heard that was the best one.
Yeah, no, they didn't have it for the Wii U.
Wait, are you thinking about Arkham City Armored Edition that's on the Wii U?
No, I heard Origins runs the best on Wii U.
Well, it probably does. You're probably absolutely right. Yeah, but like I said, I only saw it. It was only available for the 360 at my store. It was $29. I'm like, all right, well, look, that's fine. Yeah, I was going to get it for my Wii U. And so, yeah, I picked it up. And I know Spencer kind of gave us his thoughts on the game like 2 weeks ago. And it's funny because Spencer has never played any of the Batman games. So he was like, it's a button masher. I remember him just saying that. I'm like, yeah, he's never played those Arkham games before. So, yeah, I played it, guys. Let me tell you, I heard a lot of mixed reviews about this game. It's pretty good.
Ryan, so you spent that much money at Black Friday. Did you buy anything else?
That's it.
Omar, did you get out of Black Friday without spending any money?
I spent some money on the Amazon Black Friday week of deals or whatever they do.
Yeah, but you end up getting?
I bought a receiver. You know those big-ass things you plug all of your stuff into and then plug into the TV for, like, surround sound? I bought one of those that was, like, 50% off.
Gnarly.
Yeah, it was pretty gnarly, but it was 50% off. I needed one, and Amazon totally suckered me, but whatever.
Yeah, I ended up getting Ratchet and Clank
really?
Into the Nexus. Yeah, I got that game.
I thought about it, but also, I'm not going to plug in my PS3. That's just not going to happen.
No, boo. Omar.
He's already done, man.
I'm already done. I'm out. I'm not going to plug it. As soon as that 360 gets taken out of the shelf, too, it's not going back in, regardless of what it is.
Where do you put it?
Yeah, what are you going to do with it?
I don't know. Either it goes in a closet or it's going to get sold.
Well, I know you don't keep your box, so...
I don't
know. Where's
it
going to go, man?
It's either going to go, like, in a bag in a closet or going to get sold.
Ryan, I think we need to start an orphanage for mistreated consoles.
I think Omar should be banned from video games. Banned.
I also ended up with Dead Space 3, which is kind of weird.
I just sold my copy of that. I would have given it to you.
Ah, dang it. I think it was only like $10 or something.
That's probably all that I got for it. It's like about $10.
Hey, Omar, I will give you $35 for your Game Boy SP.
I actually went looking for that thing the other day, and I totally cannot find it yet.
You son of a bitch. Somewhere. What?
It's somewhere. I have it. I've that's one of those things that I put aside, like, okay, this is something that I'm going to keep around. Like, I still have that and my Game Boy Micro somewhere, and I cannot find them right now.
They're probably just in a safe place.
They're probably in a pretty safe place, like in a lockbox somewhere that I just can't find them.
A safer place would be my house. Just saying.
At this point, I kind of agree with you, Ryan. It might be a safer place. Might be in your house.
Yeah, a little museum.
Yeah.
I almost got a 3DS XL.
I did. Oh, I got one of those. That's what I traded in Dead Space for. I traded in a bunch of stuff to GameStop the other day.
To pick up Zelda?
To pick up Zelda and a 3DS XL.
Jeez.
And that thing that for Black Friday sales, did anybody, you know, point people towards those things? Those things were on sale like crazy.
Yeah, it was $150 for the XL and the game.
And the Zelda. And normally the XL is $199.
Yeah.
That's a crazy deal.
Yeah. I already have a 3DS. I backed
the XL
off.
Is so much better. So much better.
Seconds away from getting it.
Is it better?
I do not regret that swap at all. Like, I took a bunch of things and my 3DS to GameStop and traded it in and got an XL and Zelda. And I ended up spending like $90 for both things after all the trade-ins. But yeah, that the XL is so much better than the 3DS. It's unbelievable.
Might want to bite your tongue there because I have a 3DS and I happen to like it very much.
Yeah, I love the 3DS. I love this XL. It is such a better like thing to play long term, like look at, hold. Everything about it is way better.
It is certainly more comfortable. I've gotten to use a couple over the past couple of weeks, and it definitely is nicer to hold in your hand. The only thing that bothers me about it is like there's a weird clicking, which is worse in some versions than the others. But as you open the clamshell, it has like two positions, and the way that it clicks is like a little unnerving, but it's totally fine.
Yeah, that one that Evan's referring to sounded like it was like breaking plastic every time it clicked.
Yeah,
but mine is not like that. Mine is has like a nice little like a little snap into position. There's no noise associated with it.
And yours is like the black one, right?
Yeah,
just
all
regular black one. I wonder if the other limited edition ones, like there's a gold Zelda limited edition. There's what is the name of that game? Fire Emblem.
There's a Fire Emblem one. There's a Luigi one. There's a
Pokemon one now too.
There's a Pokemon one. There was a what's that? Animal Crossing one.
Yeah, Animal Crossing.
There's been
so
a lot
of
limited
all
of
those
ones.
Have that weird clicking sound.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I think it's probably just that one that you held. Honestly, not even like the edition. But yeah, remember how we used to think the screen was worse on the XL? Like because it's, you know, it's the same resolution, just blown up like an extra inch and a half or whatever diagonal.
Yeah.
I don't think it looks worse at all. It looks just as good as what the 3DS looked like.
Have you played any older games on that, though? Like where before they had the idea to that they would know like the different hardware specifications? Like games prior to Zelda, basically.
But I mean, games prior to, I think every game as the system ages, all those games will end up looking better and better. But it's the same resolution screen, so there wouldn't be any difference between the way, you know, the way they make the assets for one screen or the other.
Okay.
It's just a bigger screen at the same resolution.
All right.
But yeah, man, holy man, that game is super good. That the console is amazing. That deal, if that doesn't make the 3DS like the staple handheld after, you know, people are picking up that crazy deal this holiday season, I don't know what is going to happen to that thing. Because,
well, I gotta tell you, a friend of mine just picked up his 3DS. He got the Luigi one.
Nice.
The Haunted Mansion or the Luigi. Yep. What is it? What's it called?
Dark Moon.
Yeah. So he picked it up, and he's not a handheld guy at all. So he picked it up on Friday, and then was it yesterday? I get a call, dude. This 3DS is amazing. I'm like, oh, cool. It'd be a chance to, open it up and play with it. Yeah, he's like, I've been playing it for the last 9 hours nonstop. He's like, I need more games. I already beat this Luigi game. So he came over to my house and he rented my 3DS collection, which was, you know, that's totally cool. But people love it, man. I think once they get their hands on the 3DS or the 3DS XL, it's a great handheld. I'm actually thinking I might get that Vita, guys.
There's crazy deals for Vitas right now too. If you go on Amazon,
I think about getting the PS4 Vita bundle.
That's a good idea too, but it's only in Europe right now. But it's
coming
come
here.
Over.
It's coming here. Yeah. I bet you anything.
What's the bundle cost in your like? What's the savings or what's the difference?
I
in
heard
cost between
the
two
the,
things?
The savings was like €20.
So like $40.
Yeah,
more.
I mean it's. I would almost just look for a good Vita deal that you can get the old style Vita. Like, because people are closing out those old ones because they just refresh the hardware. I would look for one of those as opposed to getting the bundle with the PS4. Because you get the OLED screen. It's a little bit thicker, so it's a little nicer to hold, in my opinion. Like, I held the skinny one the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's too skinny. It's like holding an iPhone sideways at the game store.
Oh, okay.
But it's too skinny. It's like it's honestly feels like I'm taking my iPhone and trying to hold it like a Vita. It's too skinny.
Yeah.
But and you know the OLED screen, you want that OLED screen on that thing. Like there's no reason not to have it. I don't know what if there's like a battery performance difference in the two, but
yeah, maybe
you want that OLED screen. It's so beautiful.
It's really nice. Yeah. But Ryan, you're gonna get a PS4 anyway, so that's why you would be interested in getting that bundle.
Yeah.
So that you just get it all in one shot.
Two birds, one stone. Know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm all about savings, even if it's gonna be like $5 or $10. If I'm going to get both of them, might as well, you know, save a couple bucks while I'm at it.
Yeah, somebody was selling those Vitas for like $150, which is it's about the same savings that you would get getting that bundle.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so if you could get a one of those older Vitas for like $150 and a game with it,
the one that I saw advertised recently was the Walking Dead bundle. So it comes with the Vita, the Walking Dead download, and I think something else. And it's surprisingly enough, it's the 3G Wi-Fi versions, which I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know how they still have the 3D versions around.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's like, you know, it's definitely the older model with the OLED screen if you're getting the 3G version. And it you know, they were cheap and they come with a game. The game that you love, Ryan.
Oh, yes.
Telltale's Walking Dead.
The Boring Dead. I heard that Telltale's making a Game of Thrones game.
The Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
The game?
Did you hear that, Omar?
I heard that too, yeah. I think I heard that from Evan, so I don't know what kind of credibility you can lend that.
Yeah.
No, it was a rumor, so when I read it, at least, I haven't seen anything
that
really confirmed
it. It makes
a
ton of sense that they would try to do that. That game, or that TV show is crazy, crazy popular, so whatever that guy can make more money and not write the next book, I'm sure he'll do whatever he can.
Hey, guys, before we go any further, I know it's all great we're talking about Thanksgiving and Black Friday sales and Vitas and 3DS. None of that matters anymore, guys. Like, none of it. PlayStation 4, Xbox One, doesn't matter, guys. It's done.
Oh, yeah?
I played a game this week, and it wasn't that Batman Arkham Origins, which is good. It's pretty good. I think we played this week I played the game of a generation, guys. I did not even have this game on my radar. I knew it was coming out, but I'm like, this won't even be in competition for Game of the Year, because, you know, I played this game before a million other times. I played Super Mario 3D Worlds this week, guys. It is not only the best Mario game I've ever played in my life, and I'm 33 years old, and I've played every single Mario game since, 1985? That's right, been around the block. Not my first rodeo, kids.
Landed on pretty thick, man. Best Mario game you've ever played in your life?
Best Mario game I've ever played in my life. It could also be one of the greatest games I've ever played in my life.
No way.
You know what? Up until Super Mario 3D World this weekend, up until I played it, I had this toss up in my head. I'm like, what's going to be Game of the Year? It's Last of Us? There's Bioshock Infinite? No, it's not even a question anymore, guys. It's done. Super Mario 3D World is Game of the Year. Hands down. Competition's over. One of the finest games I've ever played. Ever. I am so happy. I there was a lot of emotions I had when I was playing this game. One, I was so happy, and the other, I was so mad. And I'll tell you why I was mad. Was so many people will not get a chance to play this game because it's on the Wii U. And people aren't picking up the Wii U. It kind of reminds me of the Dreamcast, Well, the Dream
or the GameCube.
When the Dreamcast came out, there was this huge shadow from the PlayStation 2, where nobody really picked up a Dreamcast because they were anticipating the launch of the PlayStation 2, which was a year away. And now the Wii U's been in place for about a year now, we finally get the must-have game finally for the system. This should have been the game that launched with the thing, but instead everybody's focused on the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One. And if you look at the Metacritic scores for all the games that launched with those two systems, they're crap. I'm sorry. It's crap. And then you have this gem, this diamond, this masterpiece, Super Mario 3D Worlds comes out. And it's on a system that nobody has. And so I was so bummed out because there's this whole population of people who play video games that will never know they're missing out on one of the greatest gaming experiences of their lives.
I played that game for probably about 20 or 30 minutes. It's pretty good.
No. Not pretty good, Evan. Don't ever say pretty good in the same sentence as Super Mario 3D Worlds.
Omar, you played it as well, right?
Yeah, I agree with Ryan. I think it's probably Nintendo's best game in a long, long time. And I haven't played the whole thing by myself. But just listening to other people talk about it the way Ryan is talking about it makes me feel like classic Nintendo nostalgia. You know, like people love this game and they love that it's just like that whole childhood like recreation again of like pure joy in playing a video game. And that's everything I've heard about 3D World.
Yeah, and it's definitely a weird situation, I feel like, where we have all these new launches, and Nintendo's just kind of managed to pull it out somehow. Like you said, Ryan, you weren't expecting this game. It wasn't even on your radar. You weren't expecting it to impress you at all. And I felt the same way, and when I actually played it, I was like, yeah, this is really good. And it definitely gets... I just wonder if it's enough, because it definitely gets me thinking, like, oh, man, maybe they're back. Like, maybe they're, like, pulling things in, and they're going through some changes, and they're going to fix everything, and everything's going to be okay, man. Everything's going to be all right for the Wii U.
Yeah, I would take that one step further, and the thing I want to talk about a little bit later is Link Between Worlds, playing that on the 3DS. The way that Zelda game plays takes all the bull crap that we've hated about the recent Zelda games, all like the repetitive and the slowness and all that stuff, and just throws it all away and starts... It's just an amazing video game. And I think it is true that Nintendo has like... kind of, or hopefully, this is what I want to happen, this is what I'm projecting, is like, they're starting to steer this direction where they've streamlined it down again. They're like, okay, this is what we're good at, this is what we're going to put out. 3D World is exactly what you want from a Mario game again, you know, like Mario 64 style Mario game.
Sure.
And the Zelda game is exactly what I want from Zelda. It's totally makes me way more optimistic about Nintendo. I just wonder... You know, putting it out, it was probably their idea. Like, hey, we got these things coming out, these new consoles. We've got our two juggernauts. Let's put them out this day and see if we can, you know, steal any buyers. I just don't know if that worked. And I hope it did, because if not, then who knows what's going to happen to them. You know, like, if this push isn't enough to get them going again, I don't. What else do they have left to try again?
Well, what they need is they need some third-party support. I mean, it's always been about Nintendo. Nintendo will never get the full third-party support that Microsoft or Sony will be able to attain, right? That's always been...
They've already lost a good chunk of it.
They've already lost a good chunk of it.
It's already gone.
And the problem is with them launching a year early, they weren't able to capitalize on that head start whatsoever. So now you have Sony and Microsoft's two juggernaut consoles show up. Man, it's a feeding frenzy. These things are sold out everywhere. You hear stories that GameSpot has 4 million PlayStation 4s on back order right now.
Jeez.
I mean, just crazy numbers. And when you go into like a Best Buy or you go into one of these stores, right, and you see the areas that are set up for the Sony and Microsoft consoles, I mean, there's a lot of money into those displays. And you go to the Nintendo side, there's no display. It's just on the stock shelves that they have there at Best Buy. There's no signage that says, this is the Wii U.
What are the... Sorry, Ryan, to interrupt, but what is the going price right now of those Wii U Deluxes? Is it still $300?
$299.
Or it's $299.
I think it's...
Didn't it drop? I thought it dropped $50.
Maybe it's
$260.
Yeah,
$260.
It's still $299. And then they had a bunch of deals. So they had the Zelda Wind Waker collection, and it was $299, but you got Zelda with it, so it's almost like taking $50 off. And I saw some Black Friday deals where you can get a Wii U for $320. It included two games, a controller, two Wiimotes. There was deals on it, but no, the standard price for the Wii U Deluxe Edition is $299. It has not dropped.
Okay.
And I think Nintendo, I mean, you don't ever want to see anybody do a price drop, especially a year into the life cycle of a console, but I think Nintendo's going to have to do something by the spring. Or I'm just hoping that folks out there realize that this machine is capable of much. The Super Mario 3D World is, if another game never comes out for my Wii U, and Super Mario 3D World is the last game I play on it, it totally justifies the purchase of my Wii U. That's how good it is. I'm not kidding. I haven't been this jazzed about a Mario game in forever. This is one of the best games I've ever played.
So, you know, trying to look at it, and obviously it's impossible to be objective, but trying to look at it, you know, taking a step back, you really feel like it's better than Mario 64. It's better than Super Mario Galaxy. It's better than those.
Yes,
two
because
games?
It, those are yes. The... Mario Galaxy is and Super Mario 64 are masterpieces as well, right? The Super Mario 3D World is right up there with them, and they take the best elements from all these games and they put a different spin on it, and they bring it to the modern age, right? Now Super Mario 64 is classic, but so is Super Mario World, so is Mario Galaxy. I will throw Super Mario Sunshine up there. Super Mario Sunshine was a lot of fun. This game is a love letter to all those past Mario games, and that's what I love about it. But it also evolves the Mario franchise and puts it in a new direction, which I love. And if you like cats, how can you not love Catsuit Mario?
That's the one negative the only knock I've heard on that game is like, man, they are pushing that catsuit. Like every 3 seconds you get a cat bell. Like. If you're not Catsuit, you're not playing that game or something, or you're not doing it the way they intended.
Wait, have you guys beaten it?
No.
Okay, let me tell you something. I will say this without spoilers. The last encounter, and we know we're gonna fight Bowser. That's just a given, right? That's not really a spoiler, is it? Let me tell you, the last Bowser encounter is so much fun that as soon as I got done playing it and beating the game, I went back and played it 4 more times because I had so much fun. And here I am, I'm in a boss battle, and no one ever, and it was great, I saw this internet meme earlier this week, nobody ever cheers for the boss fight, right? No one ever goes, oh, sweet, I'm having another boss fight, this is great. No one ever says that. Is this Super Mario 3D World last battle with Bowser? Like, I replayed it 4 times, guys. It was a hoot.
That seems super rad. I'll definitely pick up a Wii U if I could get a sweet deal on a bundle with like Wii U and Super Mario.
Is there any reason to buy the deluxe over the basic now? I know they stopped making the basic, but if you can buy a basic, can you, is it what's where? What are the downsides there?
Well,
I think it's like only 8 gigs of memory or something.
8 gigs of memory.
But can't you just plug a hard drive in the back of it?
Yeah, who wants to do that, man? Omar will do that.
If that's what it takes to get, you know, to get, I just don't know.
Plus it's white.
That doesn't
bother me.
The deluxe
is black.
Yeah, the deluxe is
black. I don't like white consoles.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me.
I don't like them.
Omar, did you want to say anything in addition about, as long as we're talking about Nintendo, you want to talk a little bit about Zelda? I know you've been putting some time into that thing.
Yeah, I have a couple more questions about 3D World. I remember talking about it with you guys before. We didn't think that this was the Galaxy team making this game, but I have since read that it is the Galaxy team's game. Is that
okay?
Is that does that sound like a like misinformation to somebody?
No. That sounds right. There's also a Galaxy themed level later on in the game.
Yeah, I do. Okay. I did see that stuff. The Galaxy level stuff. Did you unlock that other character?
Yes,
I think
did.
Everybody does. Yeah, I think that's just something that happens, right?
Yeah, so here's the crazy thing, right? So after you beat the game, you get, traditionally you'll get like a Star World, right? So there'll be like 8 different like levels inside the Star World, right? And usually after that, there's no more levels. Well, as soon as you beat Star World, which is the bonus world after you beat the game, you get another bonus world unlocked on top of that full of like 8 new worlds. When you beat that world, you get another world. So far, I'm like 3 worlds in, like extra worlds. I've already beaten the game, but I've played like 24 extra levels so far. The value with this game, and I've yet to even go back and play with the other characters. I did a whole run as Mario, but I want to go back and play as Luigi and Peach because they all have different attributes and can do different things in the level. So the replay value is insane.
Yeah, I did hear that too. That's rad. The replay in that game is crazy, and the collectibles are actually really well done, and they're not like annoying in any way. And they all actually mean something. They're not just like bragging rights.
Yeah. You get these stamps, and every level has a stamp, right? And when you get that stamp, it's weird. Like it becomes a trophy, and you want to share that with your Miiverse. So yeah, for the first time ever, I'm using my Mii and I'm corresponding with other Nintendo players. It is very weird for me. Because
it's a bold
because
step for you,
you know me online. Come on, I don't want to talk to anybody. But
plugged into the internet.
Yeah, I wrote something. I wrote something. It was on the Bowser level of the game, and I wrote, "Oh my god, this brings up so many memories." Next thing I know, I'm getting like 20, 30 people commenting on this thing I posted. I thought I was posting it for myself. Literally, I had no idea how this Miiverse thing works. And next thing I know, I had people talking to me. I'm like, "Wow, this is the internet."
Yeah,
people were being nice.
Yeah,
did
people
draw pictures.
Yeah.
Did you draw pictures?
People were drawing pictures.
I think that I thought that picture thing got shut down.
No.
People were drawing penises. Ended up.
No. I did see a couple, but that was actually in game, which is kind of weird.
Oh yeah.
Because I'm you know you're as you're going from different land to land, you're moving your character around and you're seeing other Miis, and you'll walk by them and you'll see a picture somebody drew or a stamp that they collected, and I saw one. It was Princess Peach in a very subjective pose.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it, Evan.
I did see a level, I guess, that somebody designed, and it has P switches on the bottom and also is in a precarious shape. This is like two P switches in a long rectangle.
Oh, yeah.
In a particular stage in the game, somebody pointed it out, and Reggie was like, he had like some official quote, like, "I don't remember approving this at all."
So, yeah. Jeez.
Something silly.
But yeah, dudes, it's great. And that Batman Arkham Origins is really good too. I heard so many mixed reviews on this. It almost feels like it's an expansion of Arkham City. Because it's basically, you're playing Arkham City. It's just before Arkham City becomes Arkham City. It's the same level design for the most part. You get to see all these
a lot of the same assets, I think.
Yeah, you see all the locations that were in Arkham City just before it became a prison, which was pretty cool. And the voice acting is great. I was just as concerned about everybody else that what's his name? I can't remember his name. Kevin Conroy. Kevin Conroy wasn't coming as Batman, but the new guy is great. He's fantastic. And I see why they did it. It was a younger Batman.
Yeah, you get the right vibe from it? The younger,
yeah, it was the right
Batman
vibe.
Thing.
Like, they're going totally younger. This is a younger Joker. It was cool. There's a good twist in it that I didn't see coming, which I was like, oh, what's this thing about Black Mask? Oh.
Did you already finish it?
I'm about an hour away from beating the game.
Wow. Man, you've been jamming, huh?
Dude, this was, I tell you guys, I could talk the whole entire episode about how great my Thanksgiving weekend was. Not only did I play like Super Mario World like crazy, and I started playing Batman Arkham Origins, I bought a ton of comic books this week. And this was a really good week for comics. I know, Omar, you haven't had a chance to go pick your poll, and Spencer's not here either, but Infinity number 6 came out, and that's the last issue for the big crossover that was going on at Marvel. And that is the best crossover Marvel has done in years. Like, in terms of big events, hands down, best big event Marvel's done in like 10, 15 years. And I wish somebody else on the show read it so we could talk about it because it was so good.
Not going
to
happen.
Let's just say when a crossover ends or a big event ends, you kind of want it to, you know, have some big dramatic moments, but also moves the story and also sets up events for what's going to happen inside the Marvel U. And Infinity number 6 did not disappoint in terms of setting up what is next from the mind of Jonathan Hickman. And it ties in nicely to Inhumanity number 1, which we just found out is going to be delayed. So Marvel's next big event that's supposed to happen right after Infinity is getting delayed. First issue already delayed, Omar. What do you think about that?
Delayed because of production or just to give them some breathing room?
They haven't. It looks like production. Joe Madureira, who we've talked about on the show before, big artist. For those who don't know who Joe Madd is, he's the guy who did all the art and did all the design work for Darksiders. Remember that game?
Didn't he come up with that story too?
Yeah.
Like all his baby?
Yeah, was that Virgil Studios? I think he created with a partner. Anyways, Joe Madd's doing the art on it, and he's known for being very meticulous with his artwork. But no one's pointing fingers just yet. But yeah, I found out today it's going to be delayed. And that's not a good sign for the first issue of your next big event already delayed. Especially when you had Infinity coming out like every 2 weeks, like clockwork, on the dot. And you said it a couple weeks ago, Omar, what you really liked about Infinity over the Forever Evil event that's going on in DC is Forever Evil is taking forever, right? Because you get one issue a month. and you have to wait, you know, you're waiting 6 months for the story to finish. But in Infinity, Marvel did this basically in 2 months, put out 6 issues, all the tie-ins. Everything was actually pretty good on this, so I'm really stoked on Infinity number 6. That was a really good comic. And
right on.
And also, real quickly before we go, Black Science number 1 from Image. Omar, if there's only one comic you can read this year, there you go, buddy. Black Science number 1 from Rick Remender. Imagine Fantastic Four meets Lost in Space meets Indiana Jones. By Rick Remender. Evan's favorite hardcore writer in the world.
He's talking about music, not the other stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say
that. Oh, yeah, when we say hardcore, me and Evan were at a Gorilla Biscuits show, and Rick Remender was there, and we were totally stoked. We're like, wow, Rick Remender's here at Gorilla Biscuits? What?
That was really funny.
And then we tweeted at him. Remember that, Evan?
Yeah.
You want to hang out?
Then he gave us the cold shoulder. Hey, guys.
Hey, you like hardcore, too? Want to hang out? We could draw X's on each other's hands. Yeah, Black Science number 1 is so good. New comic from Image. And Omar's got this thing where he picks up every number one Image comic. So there you go. Omar, get that book before it sells out. I think it's going to be bigger than Saga. How about that?
Oh, man.
And you know what? Saga, I got to say, guys, last 4 issues, boring.
Full of bold claims today, man.
I know. I'm on a roll. I have a lot to say this episode. I'm sorry. That new Saga came out this week. And, man, you know how I feel about Saga, guys. That was our comic of the year last year. We all loved Saga. I don't know. It's lost a lot of steam in those last 4 or 5 issues. They're doing all this world building, but I feel like they're really not building anything. Hey, and that's comics. Sorry, I had to throw it in there.
That's comics.
I had to throw it in there. We didn't get to comics at all this episode. So.
No, yeah. I was kind of concerned.
No, I could talk more, but I'm done talking right now.
You could just sit in your corner and play Mario 3D Worlds. It's okay.
God, it's so good. I need you guys
to start playing that Zelda game, man.
That's next. That's next week.
It's so good.
I'm getting in a roll, guys. I'm getting back. It's been kind of retirement the last 6 months from video games.
It's been far too long.
Well, I mean, the thing is, there's really been nothing out there that really grabbed me. And, you know, I'm really glad I picked up that Arkham Origins. I'm really glad I picked up Super Mario. But there's a lot of games I gotta go back and replay, and I've been wrestling with the notion that I need to play that GTA 5. Even though I'm not a fan of the GTA series, I feel like one of us has gotta play the game.
I'll play it eventually. Just there's so much stuff right now. I have a PS4. It's crazy. I don't know. I figure that they'll probably have a next gen version of it, and I figure that's when I would probably play that game.
Well, I mean, Rockstar already said that they're not gonna be. There's not gonna be a GTA 5 on the next gen consoles.
What, really? Yeah.
I remember reading that too.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I don't think they'd spend the time to do that.
Yeah, I might have put that story in the notes at one point.
No, that's not happening, and nor is the PC release.
Wait, what? No, they're going to release a PC.
No,
I think they kind of.
I've heard they're not doing a PC release, guys. No. That's what I heard. Bold predictions.
Omar, tell us about Zelda.
Zelda. So, like I said before, everything that I've not liked about the previous Zeldas, and I liked Skyward Sword. I did not really dig the other console one. I can't remember the Twilight Princess.
Get out of town. That game's awesome.
Yeah, I didn't really dig that game. It was kind of way too long. And okay. Skyward Sword definitely had that like dragged out length to it. And I've not finished A Link Between Worlds yet, but the amount of time it takes you to get into the story is almost nothing now. The way you can progress through it, and you can just pick and choose everything at your leisure, is amazing. The game is super fun and super well laid out. The differences between like first 3 and second 7, all that stuff, like, totally makes sense. It's totally logical, and you can pick and choose how you want to do that kind of stuff. The bad guy is kind of cool. The mechanics in it, the unique mechanic for this game, like turning into a picture on the wall and stuff, super useful, and actually like makes puzzle solving really interesting in the game again, because like you have like your main mechanics, like, hookshot, boomerang, blah, 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 all that stuff to solve puzzles. And then you have this other thing that totally like throws in this like weird element of not being able to think 2D about the game anymore. It's crazy. And it's just amazing, and it's everything I want Zelda to be again. And I think if this is the, if this is a stepping stone to the next like console version of Zelda, or if they just keep going, you know, handheld Zeldas instead, which is totally cool with me, this game is great. And it's a great look forward to what Zelda is going to be soon, you know?
I've heard such good things about this game. And you're right. Zelda, for me, reminds me a lot of the Castlevania franchise, where you have Castlevania Symphony of the Night comes out and kind of rewrites the rules on what a Castlevania game could be. Similar to how when Ocarina of Time came out, rewrote the rules. And ever since then, you have these great games coming out afterwards. Like, I love Majora's Mask, I love Twilight Princess, and Skyward Sword's a lot of fun, but they're all still trying to capture that magic of Ocarina of Time, is how I feel. And it's the same thing with the Castlevania series. You have Symphony of the Night came out, and then ever since then, before the Lords of Shadow franchise, all these games were trying to live up to what Symphony of the Night did. And I feel it's the same thing for Zelda. So this new Zelda, it just, that's what I love about it. It's taking that preconceived notion of what a Zelda game is and blowing it up, but also not forgetting where it came from. So I'm all about that. I've heard such good things about the new Zelda.
Yeah, it is definitely the perfect blend between taking all those old staples and like things that people love, you know, the things that you know Zelda to be, and then making them fresh again and not making them stale like they kind of got in Skyward Sword and the other one. And I didn't play a ton of the other handheld Zelda games, the Spirit Tracks and Hourglass and stuff like that. But I don't remember reading tons of great things about them.
Well, they were all solid.
This game is so different. It's such a good, like, it's such a good step back into Zelda. If you haven't dug Zelda for a while, it's such a good way to get back into it. And the 3DS has that street passing stuff where you can, like, you know, you bump into other people that have 3DSs and you get like special games that you can play. In Zelda, it downloads a Shadow Link and you can do like PvP battles with other people's Zeldas.
Yeah, how does that stuff work? Do you just equip items? Is it just your Shadow Link just has whatever you had equipped in the main game, or
no? So you set up your there's a character in the game that's basically the, you know, the Shadow Link or the Battle Master or whatever, and you go to him and you tell him what you want your avatar to have when it goes to other people's games to fight them, and as you progress through the game, you could upgrade your avatar guy to be like, you know, I've got this new armor, this new shield, these new weapons, blah, blah, blah. I've got, you know, X amount of hearts now. Like, you keep upgrading your guy more and more. And as he goes out, he's worth more to the people to kill. So as you upgrade your guy, your bounty becomes higher and higher. So whoever defeats you gets, you know, like X amount of rupees.
Okay.
So as you go on, you just keep leveling that guy up, and you keep, you know, sending out new, better equipped links.
Let's say you kill one of these dudes. Is your wallet going to be big enough to hold all the rupees that you get from it?
Yeah, there's no limitation on wallets anymore. So that's part of the things that are streamlined in this game. You don't have to worry about, you know, collecting wallets to be able to carry more rupees. That's done. Right off the bat, you can carry, you know, whatever thousands. You have four numbers in your wallet count. You have access to all of the weapons right off the bat. And, you know, there's gated by the amount of cost that it takes to get them, but you rent them from one of the characters, and if you die, you have to rent them again, or you can buy them later on. And that's all, you know, there's costs associated with that, so there is some kind of progression behind it where you have to play the game for so long to, like, accrue the amount of resources you need to get these things. But you're able to use all of the weapons right off the bat. That makes all of the puzzles inside each of the dungeons solvable in so many different ways now, because you have all of the things at your disposal.
It's kind of nuts.
It's kind of amazing. So, like, normally you'd be like, okay, I need to go to the fire dungeon, but I need to equip, you know, these special boots before I can go into the fire dungeon. And so I have to go do this other thing before that. And there was all those, like, crazy chain of events that you had to do to get into every stage of Zelda. And sure. And that wasn't even, like, the main storyline. The main storyline is chaining the other chain of events together. Now you have the whole world open to your disposal. And you just, you know, you just kind of go through and you knock them all out. And it's super quick to get into everything. And every time you enter a dungeon, this is what caught me off guard too, is every time you go into a dungeon, you know how it would do like that big animation and like the name would pop up and things that just take forever that are pointless?
Yeah.
They didn't do that anymore.
I don't know. I really liked the title stuff from Ocarina of Time, especially with the bosses and things. Oh, man.
Yeah, none of that stuff happens anymore. So, like, you're not, like, every time you pick something up, you're not doing the little dance over your head and stuff. Like, just the little things that became tedious.
I don't know. I kind of like that, man.
You still do
for
certain
objects. Don't say anything else. Don't say anything else. Now you're bumming me out on this game.
Oh, come on, Ryan.
I'm not playing it now.
Cheer up,
all right,
guy.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
All right.
It's definitely like all of those perfect ratings that you're seeing all over the internet for this game are totally worth it. Like, this is not just kind of like fanboyish stuff. Like, everyone who's loving this game is loving it because it's pretty freaking awesome.
Right on.
So,
man.
Pretty good week for Nintendo, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see. That's like I said before, I hope it's enough to pull them through, because after these two, you know, this 1-2 punch of Mario and Zelda, I'm not sure what else they have in their arsenal to, like, push, to give them the next push.
Oh, I don't know. Donkey Kong Metroid? Yeah. Metroid? Give me Metroid Prime by Retro? Nintendo?
Are you
listening? Make it happen.
They haven't talked about it yet, so it's at least a year out, if that. And then they've been better about... Nintendo's been doing this weird thing where they announce a game and they'll release it in a short amount of time from when they actually talk about it. And they're super secretive over there, so they can kind of make that stuff work. But the next thing on the list, what's coming out before anything, is probably Donkey Kong Jungle Freeze, right?
I'm really
that's coming out soon.
Yeah,
that game looks like a lot of fun.
That would be the
too.
Next one.
So good.
As long as we're talking about portables, I've been playing a lot of Tearaway. I actually finished the game, and that game's really rad. I didn't really get a chance to talk about it last week. It's a game, and the entire world within the game is made up of papercraft, so it's all kind of cut out of construction paper, and you kind of go through this game, and it takes everything that people were doing wrong with the Vita and its launch and makes all that stuff okay, which is a really, really cool thing.
That
seems like the impossible.
It definitely does. They accomplished the impossible, making all the touch controls and all the little knickknacks in the Vita something awesome.
So they use everything from the voice control to both cameras, and just using the touchscreen to its fullest ability. And they kind of, and you can tell these guys have had a chance to look at a lot of different games, whether they're user generated, because Media Molecule also made Little Big Planet, and they made this game Tearaway, and that it definitely shows. They seem to have refined a lot of different things, and just make it super awesome to play that game. The platforming is a lot better than in a Little Big Planet game, moving around your character, and just the world that they develop is so cool looking, and it's one of the best looking games I've seen on the Vita. It does chug sometimes. There's like a little bit of frame rate issues at times, but sometimes you can't tell if that's because of the frame rate or if that's because the animation they're using makes it look like stop motion animation sometimes, which is a really, really cool effect. So there's a lot of cool stuff like that. I don't know. I don't have much more to say about that other than you should play Tearaway, because that's a really good Vita game. And I've been seeing it off and on these past 2 weeks, $10 off. So I think for like $30, you could get that game, and it's a good time.
Yeah, it's crazy that Amazon has that, you know, that PSN store now, and they're putting all these crazy deals to get the downloadable codes for these games. I feel like that opens up such a weird possibilities for people to put things out for a lot cheaper.
Did you guys hear about PlayStation Plus being on sale for $20 for a whole year?
Yep.
Oh yeah, I got it for 30.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
It came with, I think there was some weird things where you had to like buy certain next gen games to get that deal to unlock for you. But yeah, you could totally have gotten a year of PlayStation Plus for $20. Same with Xbox Live. If you bought certain Xbox One games, you got a live code for like 30.
I almost got an Xbox One over the weekend, but I didn't. I feel like I want to get that thing on my own terms. I don't have to drive out to some store in Northridge or something to go pick it up.
Yeah, I definitely want to play one more. I'm still just super bummed on that whole, like, the way the interface. I actually dig the way the interface looks. The way it performs is a little wonky, but I think that's, like, refinable. It's that whole, like, not having control over your save data and other data that blows my mind. I don't understand it.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit, Omar? Because regular people probably just don't know.
Yeah, so on the Xbox One, your save games are all on the cloud, right? Everything is in the cloud now, in SkyDrive or whatever their version of that thing is called. But you have no access to it. There's, as far as I've seen so far, and this is people doing like their tests and stuff and trying to get the things to work, aside from building a new account on a console, there's no way to like start your game over midway or something like that. Like
to delete your save data.
Yeah, there's no way to start over and delete your save data or do whatever. Like, all of that stuff is automated so much now that you have zero user access to it. And that blows me away. It makes zero sense to me for a gaming system it's just kind of dirty sounding. It's like the way iOS works. Like, you don't have access to that save data on iOS, and it blows me away that, you know, all the time that people are like, oh, iOS is the next big gaming thing. Until they give you access to be able to, like, bring in saves or move this around and do all those other things, it's not going to be a gaming system. It's all that stuff is throwaway. As soon as you delete that app, all of your progress is gone. That is not a gaming system. You know, like, having that stuff be tied down so hard is not a gaming system. And the way the Xbox is doing it is kind of like that, and it seems super dumb.
Yeah, it is a real bummer. And it feels like maybe just a really, really big oversight that they can come back and address. And maybe for the particular game that we saw that this was like kind of the worst case scenario, it was probably Crimson Dragon.
Well, I think Crimson Dragon just brought it to our attention because and I think the bummer of the whole thing is, I think it's a very small problem or a very small amount of people that it affects, right? Like, only certain people are going to want to be able to do this where they like have their delete their saves or start over and do all this weird management of things like that. Most of the users aren't going to care. So I think what Microsoft is doing is like, this is a thing that's only going to affect X amount of people. This is not a problem for us. Like, if 90% of, if 90% of the population doesn't want to do this thing, let's just not do this thing, which is annoying to me as being part of that other 10%, you know?
Well, it saves them research and development time, right?
I don't know if it does. I think it's just a decision made based on, you know, on user data. Like, it probably doesn't take much for them to surface the stuff like they did on the 360, where you could just be like, hey, this is where your games are stored. This is where your saves are stored. You can move your saves off of here onto, like, you know, a USB drive or whatever. That's the other thing. Sure. They pretty much said that there's no external drives that are going to work with that thing, right?
Yeah, I've been seeing a bunch of hacks already, though. People have been cracking those things open and flipping out the hard drives for, like, solid-state drives and stuff and actually getting better performance out of
it. I saw that, too. Yeah, boys,
I saw that for PS4s, but not for Xboxes. I didn't see it on Xbox.
Yeah, a guy actually got it to work, yeah. He has to do some weird stuff. Like, he has to partition the drive to make it work. It's crazy.
Yeah, because you have to somehow offload that, like, weird OS thing that they're running, and there's no, like, transfer tool for that. I'm pretty sure, you know, the way that... Remember when you had the old X360s and had that drive on the side? And to be able to upgrade into one of the new different boxes that had them built in, you had to get that weird cable and the weird software that would take that would take everything off that one hard drive and dump it on the new one, overriding whatever was on the new one. So it's just this weird, like, there's these weird transfer things, limitations transfer wise that Microsoft has set up, and I'm sure Sony too, that makes that stuff hard to do on your own.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, it's probably gonna about do it. You guys want to do picks of the week?
Oh yeah, picks of the week. This one's tough, guys. I have two, and I know we're not supposed to have two, but I have to say that Super Mario 3D World is the greatest thing ever. I talked about it, I know, for great lengths on the show, but man, it's the best pure gaming experience I've had in forever. So yeah, that's definitely my pick of the week. But in terms of comics, I was blown away by Black Science number 1 by Rick Remender over at Image Comics. It is such a rad, fun book. I did not see this one coming. And I like Rick Remender. His Uncanny X-Force is one of my jams. Sea of Red, an old pirate vampire book that he put out like 10, 12 years ago. Love that one, too. Rick Remender's always been consistently good. What he's doing with Uncanny Avengers. Oh, we didn't talk about Uncanny Avengers, guys. We had big character deaths. Oh, my God. everybody died. It was a big week. It was all over the internet. We lost people. I could talk about it, but Rogue's dead. Scarlet Witch is dead. Oh, yeah, they all died. Anyways, Black Science number 1, though. That's my comic pick of the week, because really fun book. Like I said before, it's Fantastic Four meets Lost in Space meets Indiana Jones. And the first issue, I'm reading, what the hell is going on? And it finally starts making sense the last couple pages. And let me break it down for you. This is the description from Image Comics. Grant McKay, former member of the Anarchistic Order of Scientists, has finally done the impossible. He has deciphered Black Science and punched through the barriers of reality. But what lies beyond the veil is not an epiphany, but chaos. Now Grant and his team are lost, living ghosts shipwrecked on an infinite ocean of alien worlds, barreling through the long-forgotten ancient and unimaginable dark realms. The only way is forward. The only question is how far are they willing to go, and how much can they endure to get home again? Evan? Evan's going to pick this one up.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, the artwork by Matteo Scalera and Dean White are awesome. Seriously, it's good stuff. So yeah, two picks of the week. There you go.
Omar, what's your pick of the week?
Mine is Zelda. I wanted to pick it last week, but I wasn't there. But yeah, Zelda is a great game. If you have a 3DS, there's no reason why you shouldn't be playing that game. It was probably even worth buying a 3DS for. Just like Mario World is probably worth buying a Wii U for.
Yes. Yes, Evan's going to go get a Wii U now.
Definitely getting closer. I've definitely got the inkling, man. It's now there where it wasn't present before. My pick of the week is actually a mod. It's called Super Smash Bros. Brawl Project M. And it's basically a movement for these guys who wanted to make Smash Bros. Brawl a lot more like Melee. I finally went through the hassle of getting it. It's not really even a hassle, but I went through the process of getting that thing on an SD card and plugging it into my Wii and loading up Smash Bros. Brawl and getting that thing to work. It's super awesome. It's really, really cool. So I played Smash Brothers for a good chunk of the day yesterday. I am back. I'm back to playing
Smash.
Oh,
are you?
Yeah.
You know what that means.
What does that mean?
You and I are going to throw down.
Good luck.
You're gonna. I see a thrown controller in your future, Evan.
It's going to be your controller being thrown at me because
no,
I will be unstoppable.
Well, Evan, what if I told you that secretly for the last 10 years I've been training in secret?
Well, I would be so pumped.
Shaolin monk over here. Nobody knows what I'm doing. I light some candles, put on some incense, and I play Smash Brothers. That way, for when the day calls, I must destroy you again and take out fan of the show Jimmy Ortega. With any character. I'll have you choose my character, Evan. It'll be curtains.
I look forward to that day. I would really be excited if that was true.
Just use Marth. Do what I do. Use Marth and do C-button attacks side to side all the time. It's got like the longest reach, right?
Nice. That's a pro tip right there.
Pro tip.
I'm kind of super curious in how that thing works that you were saying. You put an SD card in your Wii and you can load a modded game up. That seems like
yes,
like you had to hack your Wii to do that.
No, you don't have to hack your Wii. It's the easiest thing ever. It's really cool. You get an SD card. It has to be 2 gigs or less, and there's essentially a zip file that you download from the internet on the website. It's probably just projectm.com or something. Or just Google search it and put in Smash Brothers, and you'll find it right away. And then you unzip that folder. There's a folder inside there. You grab not the folder itself, but all the contents inside of that folder, and you copy them over into that SD card. It could be the only thing on the SD card. So you copy those things onto that SD card, make sure they're the only things on there. And then you just plug it into your Wii, and then you load up the stage builder. Because Brawl actually allows you to save stages and stuff on an SD card that you can take around with you and then plug it into a Wii and then access those stages. What's really cool is somehow these guys managed to hack it in a way that they just kind of run the game from there. Like, they just recreated the entire game somehow from there. And that's how you fire up the mod. And they made, like, their own custom title screen and everything. It's pretty rad. They put a bunch of old stages in there and lots of big changes to lots of characters. So, super, super cool. I'm really excited. It makes it feel like Melee. And it makes it feel like a balanced kind of fighting game should feel. At least to me. And I'm still checking it out. I haven't got to experience every single change. And you know, some changes are so subtle that they might even be beyond my, like, technical skill, where I wouldn't even notice. So I look forward into delving into that thing more and figuring it all out. But yeah, Project M is super rad. And there's a new version of it coming out this month. So they're adding, there's still a couple characters missing, like Ice Climbers and Samus proper isn't in there yet. But I think they're just balancing them now and working on it. And then hopefully that stuff comes out in December.
That's crazy. Hey, Evan, you think when Super Smash Brothers comes out for the Wii U that there'll be a mod so it can play more like Brawl?
I hope not. That's a good question.
Hey, that's going to wrap up this episode. Make sure you go to www.indestructibleart for our latest articles and videos. Like us on Facebook, www.facebook.com/indestructibleart. While you're there, leave us a comment or a question and we will answer it on the show. Maybe we will. You know, we get lots of questions. We just don't answer them on the show. I know someone asked me, like, hey, you're always saying, why don't you answer the questions on the show? And I'm like, well, we haven't really felt like it. Right, guys? That's why we
just have so many. It's hard to pick just one. So it's only fair if we don't answer any of them.
But, you know, go ahead and submit a question. And, you know, if it's really good, we'll answer it on the show. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Evan will buy you a Wii U if it's a really good question. That'd be really nice of you, Evan. can't believe you're going to do that for one of our fans. Buy him a Wii U, Super Mario 3D World. You're a real gentleman.
It's a good thing I got your bank account.
Oh, yes. Also, if you haven't already, please rate the show on iTunes. So on behalf of Omar De Armas, Spencer Carnage, and Evan Campbell, we know you got lots of podcasts to listen to, but you listen to ours, and that makes you... Now, Evan, forget. Don't forget. Put in like some bravado. Make this part really big. Indestructible! Like some reverb right there. Okay?
Yeah, I think it just sounds good. Just like, yeah. You think you nailed it. Yeah. You got it.
Put some effects. Like an explosion sound behind it. Hey, we'll see you next week. It looked like hell. It was a war zone. There was little kids running around without their parents.
There were
Xbox One like boxes, like the empty boxes, the display boxes, like just disheveled and thrown on the floor, and like somebody kicked one. The Xbox One controller was missing from the kiosk.
Oh my god.